welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. A major fight over the future of Indiana's state forest has developed, with people concerned about the cutting of 8,000 acres of forest a year, four times the amount that had been cut before the state decided to increase the timber harvest. This has alarmed some people, including Jeff Stant, who is executive director of the Indiana Forest Alliance.
Well, they've greatly increased the logging, commercial logging, in our state forest in the last 10 years to levels of 400% higher than any levels of logging that occurred prior to 2005 in the 100-year history of our state forests. They were created in 1903, and in 2005 there was a new strategic direction announced for the state forests when Mitch Daniels was elected to office to increase the logging on the state forests. And that increase has continued since throughout his administration and since he left under Governor Pence's administration to now they're logging today at between 14 and 15 million board feet a year is their average, and compared to between 4 million board feet a year, which was the average from the beginning, clear up to 2005.
Most of us would have a hard time understanding what a million board feet is.
Well, it's a lot of board feet. I'm looking at a timber sale that is just occurring in a deep forest tract in Owen Putnam State Forest, for example. They're cutting on 66 acres of ground and cutting, 2,000 trees, and that's generating 233,000 board feet. So imagine, something about four times that large is a million board feet. What it comes down to is that they're cutting at the current level, they're cutting over 8,000 acres of state forest every year. And if you can imagine, that's like almost three times the size of Eagle Creek Park in Indianapolis, our largest urban park. We used to be the largest urban park in the country. It's half the size of Brown County State Park. That much land is being cut over by the Division of Forestry every year. By commercial logging operations that have bought the trees, public trees, from the Division of Forestry every year.
John Seifert is the Indiana State Forester, the person who makes decisions about how much cutting should be done and where it should happen. We met him at the Morgan Monroe State Forest, half an hour north of Bloomington.
And we're standing in a stand that has been marked by one of our foresters, and we typically look at a re-entry period of every 20 years, because we know that in 20 years, if we manage it well, it'll be back to where it was in 20 years when it was harvested. And so what we're looking at now is what we call a selective harvest, where we're just single tree selecting. We're selecting trees that either have a quality issue, that we know or think they won't survive till the next 20-year rotation. And then there'll be other trees that we're thinning because, again, they're just too dense. And we're capturing some mortality because a couple trees back here are already dead, and we're just trying to capture them before they lose quality.
Jeff Stant and the Indiana Forest Alliance point to a budgeting change a few years ago that reduced state funding for the Forest Division. They point out that the decision to increase logging followed that, as if the Forest Division was trying to make up its budget shortfall by selling more timber.
We would say, why does the Division of Forestry exist then? If it exists to fund the salaries of foresters, we'd be better off privatizing these state forests. At least then you'd be paying for foresters, and you'd be producing property taxes in these counties that have a reduced property tax basis because the state forests are there. To say that our public forests are here to provide saw timber to employ public foresters defeats the purpose of having the state forest. To say that they're here to provide saw timber for the timber industry, as though the timber industry needs that saw timber, it completely exaggerates the contribution that the state forests make to the timber market in Indiana. There's almost 300 million board feet of timber sold every year in Indiana from our forest base in the state, which is almost 5 million acres. The state forests are 158,000 acres in the state forest system, comprise about 3% of that. At the height of the recession in 2008, when half the logging mills were shut down, the state forests generated 12 million board feet that year, and that provided something like 5% of the logs milled in Indiana, with half the mills closed. So the idea that the state forests, that the timber industry depends on the state forests, is a complete fiction. We don't need to log a stick of lumber out of the state forests to maintain a very healthy and vibrant timber industry.
Seifert, the Indiana state forester, doesn't deny they've let timber companies take more trees, but he says that's for the health of the forests.
There's no question. We've increased the harvesting amounts since about 2005, and that's indicative of what our inventory and our foresters have been telling us for years, that the forest is maturing, it's aging. And matter of fact, some of the data we just got 2 weeks ago are showing us that our mortality is extremely high compared to what we thought it was. And you say mortality, there's a lot of trees that are dying in the forest. We're losing almost as much volume into mortality as we're harvesting annually.
Why is that?
Because they're kind of like you and me. The trees are. There at some point, they become old and they die. Now, some trees will live past 100 years, obviously. Some won't make that. And we know by species and by experience that, like black oak and scarlet oak, are species that are short-lived. And then you get drought events, you get insect and disease issues, and behind me, we've got a couple trees that are marked that just died that are bigger than I am. But the stocking, the density of the trees per acre is just too high. And it goes back to being able to have enough moisture and nutrients to support those individuals. And at some point, you reach a tipping point where Mother Nature decides who's going to win or lose.
That's John Seifert, the Indiana state forester, talking about the decision to greatly expand the amount of logging allowed in Indiana's 157,000 acres of state forests. A bit later, he'll take on this question of whether the increase was designed to make up for a decrease in their budget.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Talking today about Indiana's state forests and the state's decision to allow something like a quadrupling in the amount of timber cutting done on those properties. A little while ago, you heard state forester John Seifert say the intention is to protect the woods, make the forests more healthy. People opposed to the cutting, including the Indiana Forest Alliance, think it's instead a budget decision, pointing out that the increase came after the Forest Division saw its funding cut by about $3 million a year. We asked Seifert about that.
I would say that's not true. Clearly, from the surface, it might look that way, but our harvesting levels that we're at today were almost the same as they were in 2006 when we introduced the strategic plan. We tweaked it a little bit, and it started dynamic. As the inventory data comes in, we tweak it. We either go up or go down. So we have not decided to cut more trees to make more money, because from on high, from my position, I let the foresters in the field make decisions per property, per parcel.
Just so I understand, was your budget cut?
Yes, we lost. Our budget wasn't, it's sort of a, you could say it was cut, but we lost the mill tax. And then you say, what was the mill tax? The mill tax was a tax that's been in place for 50, 60, 70 years that was a mill of a cent on personal property, real property like land. And that came to us as well as to the state fair. So when the legislature did away with with the whole change of 1, 2, and 3% assessment, we were part of that process where they did away with the mill tax.
So when you lost the mill tax, do you know how much that hit your budget?
Yeah, it depends on what person, whether our people think we was in the neighborhood about $3 million. Some, I think it was a little more than that, but nevertheless, that's what we were looking at.
And you mentioned that we have increased mm-hmm. the logging. The money that you get from that increase, about how much is that?
Depending on the market and timing and stuff like that, typically we budget for about $2.5 million to $3 million. So that's about a third of our budget. And we, answer your question. We also generate revenue from recreation and from seedling sales and grants. So,
but you can see how you lost $3 million, and now through this increased logging, you're making $3 million. So what can you say to those people who are concerned that this is just a budget decision?
Well, we're still off budget. I mean, when we had the mill tax and we were harvesting at the rate we were at a $12 million budget. Now we're just about a little less than 10. So we still are off from where we were when we had the mill tax. So we've nowhere come close to making up the loss. And we just manage that through efficiencies, through trying to do the best we can with the personnel we have.
And I think you said this, I just need to be sure I understand. The decision to increase the amount of harvesting mm-hmm. that you're doing, what drove that decision again?
That came back when I was hired on. I went out to our foresters, and they were clearly concerned that the forest was aging and mortality was picking up. So that was the process that started it. And at the same time, when I got all that feedback from the foresters, we put in an inventory system. We didn't have a very good inventory system. So now we have a really, really good inventory system across the entire state forest, 157,000 acres. And that drives our harvest levels, what that data supports.
Jeff Stant, executive director of the Indiana Forest Alliance, says the problem is that the state is treating its forests as a product to be sold.
If we don't have state cornfields and we don't have state soybean fields, why do we have state forests that we're treating as though they're industrial wood farms or industrial tree farms? It makes no sense. What they're doing is, with this aggressive logging program, is destroying the state forests, the public values of our state forests that they were created to provide. And yes, in the enabling statute that created the state forest, it said that there could be some logging if it was done to provide trees for local markets, but it didn't say it had to be done over every acre of the state forests, or that they needed to produce, to cut 8,000 acres a year of the state forest, and that logging was to dominate every other activity. In fact, it said in the first words, we're creating these state forests for the enjoyment and use of the entire public of Indiana, and they've lost sight of that. They've lost sight of the forest for the trees.
John Seifert, the state forester, says his agency's decisions are driven strictly by the science.
We set up a plot. We, depending on the inventory, we have a fixed plot. And that plot's permanent. And every 5 years, we come back and measure those trees. That's how we determine growth and mortality. And now there's an expansion factor. We have a plot that represents every 40 acres, and that's how you statistically get to where we're at today.
When you say the foresters were concerned about the mortality in the state forest, mm-hmm. you mean in the total state forest?
Correct. Actually, we're not really different from some of the private lands. I mean, the private lands are starting to experience the same kinds of level of mortality that the state forest. But remember, they all came up at the same time. In the 30s, there wasn't a lot of timberland. There was less than 1 million acres. Now we're over 4.6 million acres. So a lot has happened in that period of time.
We asked the state forester if he didn't have a perception problem. Wouldn't anybody think that, having lost $3 million in funding, it looked as if they were selling trees to make it back up?
The data doesn't support that argument. I mean, we've provided that data to anybody who ever wants to know about it. We make about 500 to 600 acres of openings. We call them, you can call them group selection openings, or you can call them clear cuts. It's a definitional issue for us. 10 acres and larger is a clear cut. Less than 10 acres is a group selection opening. And a lot of those openings are going into old pine stands and stands that have high mortality right now. Because if you have a pine stand that was planted to control erosion, 50-60% of it's dying. If you don't take the rest of it, it's going to die or it's going to get blown over in a storm event. So a lot of our openings are coming in those kinds of conditions. And the thing that really gets lost in the discussion is the value that we provide on the wildlife side by doing these kinds of practices. People have no idea what forest management does for neotropical songbirds, for grouse, for browse. I mean, because there's not a lot of browse in a closed canopy forest like this, and there's not a lot of food. And you say, where are these, you go to an opening, why do wildlife get attracted to an opening? It's because they're going for food. What's the food? Sunlight drives everything. If you don't have sunlight, you don't have regeneration, you don't have green foliage, you don't have insects. The insects are going to these openings, the birds are going to these openings, the wildlife goes to these openings.
Just from a perception issue, there might be somebody out there who's thinking, this is our heritage. Mm-hmm. These forests are our heritage. How can you cut them down?
We've been doing this for 100 years and there's still a forest here. And I always say, you know, we're all college-educated foresters. Why would we jeopardize something we've invested our entire life doing? Because we gain no value by cutting too many trees. It's not like we get a percentage of the cut. We're in this for the long term. We think in decades. We don't think about the quarter statement. We think in 10, 20. In most cases, all of our stands are on 20-year rotation. So we're thinking 20-year lots at a time.
So the things that you're cutting aren't old growth forests that are irretrievable or irreplaceable.
Some people would argue that there's some parts of the forest that are older than others. No question. We've got stands that are in the 100 to 140 year age class, but they're obviously experiencing the issues we talked about, mortality, all, you know, insect and disease issues. We are not a forest that people see in the West Coast. We don't grow 1,000 year old trees. We grow 100 to 120 year old trees and a few that'll get beyond that. But predominant species mix doesn't allow that to happen.
Jeff Stant, the Indiana Forest Alliance director, said timber companies already have access to plenty of trees.
So there's a literal sea of forest land in Indiana that the forest products industry has access to. Most of the major timber buyers in the state own thousands of acres of land, forest land in the state. The major sponsor of legislation to set aside at least 10% of every state forest from logging is a Republican from Jasper named Mike Braun, who's a timber buyer, who owns more than 4,000 acres of his own woodlands. He doesn't want the state competing with him. So the idea that we need to be cutting trees down, you know, creating saw timber from the state forests is a fiction that's been created to generate funds, operating funds, for the Division of Forestry. And it isn't because the timber products industry needs these trees. The Division of Forestry needs the revenue, so they're cutting the trees and saying, well, we're practicing scientific management to do this. But the fact is they're really, what they're doing is sort of modeled after a Soviet-style central state planning, where the state forests have to provide at least a third of their budget. Each forest has essentially an informal quota to meet of income to bring in every year from logging. So what we have here is not scientifically driven forestry. This is budget-driven forestry. But it has nothing to do with the idea that we need to cut these trees to provide jobs for loggers. There are plenty of trees that are accessible to the timber industry on private woodlands in Indiana without touching the state forests.
Jeff Stant thinks he knows why the trees on public lands may be coveted.
A number of timber buyers are getting a great windfall from logging in the state forests. They're buying trees at prices on average that are 40% below the average quality for or the average price for the same quality trees sold on private woodlands. So they're getting a real windfall here, and I wouldn't say that they would say that they don't think they need this. This is a great program for them. The question is what's in the best interest of the state of Indiana, of the Hoosiers, of the taxpayers who own these state forests? This logging is not in our interest. It's destroying the whole reason to have these state forests. It may be making a great amount of profit for a few timber buyers, but it's not in the public interest of the state. And we're not anti-logging. We just don't think that, just like we don't have, you know, the state competing with corn growers or soybean growers, that we should have the state competing with private tree farmers either.
After hearing both sides, the question seemed to be this. the state is quadrupling the amount of timber it's taking out of the state forests, saying it needs to do that to take out old, dying trees, to make room for new growth, basically practice sound scientific management. So if that's the case, you might want to ask State Forester John Seifert, why weren't they doing this before they lost $3 million from their budget?
Well, it's part of the reason you're here. Sometimes, you know, there was pushback from constituents who didn't understand what we were doing. And so in many cases, the science was trumped. And
evolution overruled.
Exactly. We have to do our management based on the best science, because if we don't, then we're vulnerable and we should be questioned about what we do.
You know, we are coming up on the next session mm-hmm. of the General Assembly. Are you concerned that science could take a back seat to emotion in this?
You know, it's hard for me to project that. We always go in with those discussions saying, this is what the data says, this is what our experience says. I tend to think that if I've been doing this for X period of time and our foresters have been doing this, that there should be some credibility there that we know what we're doing. And you know, when people come in who have no background, no science background, and question our science, then it becomes sort of personal at some point. And so I understand that we're in a political world, but you know, eventually science wins whether you like it or not.
Oh, stars shining bright above you. Night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in a sycamore tree. Dream a little dream of me.
John Seifert, the Indiana State Forester, explaining the reasons his agency has quadrupled the amount of logging it's allowing in the state forests. Critics say it's being done to make up for a $3 million shortfall caused when some of the agency's budget was cut. Seifert says he's just practicing sound forest management and that this should have been done sooner, but opponents have raised the emotional issue of protecting the forest. One statistic we found fascinating in all of this, in the 1930s, there was less than 1 million acres of forest in Indiana. The woods had been cut for subsistence farming. But in the Great Depression, many of those landowners lost their farms. The forest grew back, so that now, where there were once less than 1 million acres, there is now more than 4.6 million acres of forest in the state. The question now is, what does protecting that resource really mean? That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.